Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 149, 5 Tasks Your Instant Pot Makes Easy. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about home cooking and getting in the kitchen and learning new things, having fun, all that good stuff. Happy 2020. This is the first episode I'm releasing in the new year. But I want you to know that I do have another episode coming up soon where I'm going to be talking a little bit about last year and a little bit more about the year coming up. But I'm not going to do that today. I have a bit of a shorter episode that I wanted to get out for you today. And I want to talk about the Instant Pot or multi-cooker. If you don't happen to have an Instant Pot brand multi-cooker, we'll talk about some things that can make your life a lot easier. I bet a lot of you have a new Instant Pot, or maybe you've got an Instant Pot. I know a lot of people who have Instant Pots and they've hardly ever used them. So I'm hoping to give you some, you know, a few things you can use that might make your life easier using the Instant Pot, or maybe even get you in the kitchen and cooking things at home that maybe you've never tried to do before. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But before we get there, a couple quick things, of course. If you want the show notes for this episode, and in this episode in particular, I'm going to be putting in some links to some other blogs and things like that that have some examples of the things I'll be talking about. You can head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/149. That's just the number 149, and that will get you to the show notes for this episode. Also, I want to say, if you're interested in engaging with the community of Kitchen Counter Podcast listeners, and there's a few of us out there, I would really recommend heading over to the Facebook group, and that is easily found over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. If you head over there and want to get into the private Facebook group, just answer a couple of simple questions and we'll let you in. A lot of great people in there asking questions, sharing recipes and tips, sharing pictures of food. We have fun asking some fun questions once in a while in there. So there's just a lot of more engagement going on in the Facebook group. I know if you like the Facebook page, I put a note on there the other day, not a lot happens on the Facebook page. So really the group is where it's at if you're on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with me in general, a great way to do that is to send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. That goes right to me and I will read and respond to your email. I've gotten a few emails, which actually I'm going to address in the upcoming episode. So if I haven't responded to one of your emails, it might be because I'm going to talk about it on the upcoming show. So don't fret. I will get in contact with you one way or another. All right, with that, let's jump into this episode about 5 tasks that your Instant Pot makes easy. So you've got a new multi-cooker, or maybe you're thinking about buying a new multi-cooker, or you just got one for Christmas, perhaps, and you're wondering what in the world to do with it. Maybe you've had one for a long time, and you get kind of in a rut, and you use your Instant Pot for the same old thing over and over again. Today, I want to share 5 things that can make your life as a home cook a lot easier if you put your Instant Pot or your other multi-cooker pressure cooker to good use. And I say pressure cooker because that's the function that I am going to focus on for this particular episode. So if you have an Instant Pot, or if you're familiar with that type of an appliance, you know that many of them have multiple functions, hence why they're called multi-cookers. So they might have a pressure cooking function. Many have a slow cooking function, a rice cooking function, yogurt making function, all sorts of stuff built into this multi-cooker. But today I'm going to focus just on 5 things that you can use the pressure cooking function for. And while these aren't going to be specific recipes per se, I think there are foundational things that a pressure cooker can help you achieve and maybe even do things that you've never done at home before because it's kind of inconvenient and there's other ways to get what you need. So let's jump right into this. I'm just going to go through the 5. And as I mentioned before, kitchencounterpodcast.com/149 will get you to the show notes where I will put some links into actual step-by-step instructions from some different blogs and other resources I found to talk about each one of these things. And these are in no particular order, but I'm just going to start with my list, and I'm going to start with number 5 on my list, and that is using your Instant Pot or your pressure cooker to cook potatoes. Now, potatoes aren't really difficult to cook anyway, but I have to tell you, using your pressure cooker to make things like baked potatoes, not really baked potatoes, obviously, more like steam pressure cooked potatoes, but using your Instant Pot to make things like baked potatoes, or even potatoes that you're going to end up mashing, and even doing things like baked sweet potatoes. While the Instant Pot isn't going to shave off a ton of time to the process, it's probably comparable, you know, maybe it takes a little bit longer than doing something in the microwave. You can cook multiple potatoes at once, and it does result in a really nice finished product. So if you're looking to make potatoes, whether it's baked or to mash, and there's some other ways you can utilize potatoes in your Instant Pot as well. Potatoes is a great thing to give a try. You know, you can cook four or five potatoes in your Instant Pot at once, and whereas in a microwave, if you're going to bake them, you know, I think that's like a one at a time sort of a process. And of course, you can cook them in the oven as well, but that takes a little bit longer. So for example, to bake potatoes in your Instant Pot, if you're using like medium-sized russet potatoes, you're looking at cooking them on high pressure for about 13 or 14 minutes, and then maybe about 5 minutes on natural release. And that's, if you're not familiar with the Instant Pot, the natural release is the lever that you can open after the cooking time to let the steam out. That's a quick release, or you leave the lever closed to keep the steam trapped and let the Instant Pot cool down slowly. That's more of a natural release that kind of reduces the pressure. So 5 minutes on the natural release, and you're going to have some great baked potatoes. So that gives you an idea of how you can use potatoes in your Instant Pot. Okay, let's go on to another one. Like I said, I'm not going to go into super amounts of detail on each one of these kind of quick hitters here. Number four on the list for using your Instant Pot to make life easier is cooking grains. Grains can oftentimes be a bit of a pain in the rear for home cooks, not because necessarily that it takes a long time to cook them, although it does, but it requires a lot of attention usually when you're cooking grains so that you're not boiling your pot over and stuff like that. With the Instant Pot, it takes a lot of that active time away. You can put your grains in the Instant Pot with some water or other liquid, some seasonings, set it, and essentially forget it. And when I'm talking about grains, I'm talking about everything from rice. So, of course, the Instant Pot, most Instant Pots, I think, or multi-cooker pressure cookers have a rice setting. But you can do other things like cooking oatmeal or millets or farro or quinoa. You can even make popcorn in your Instant Pot, or things like ancient grains like teff. And I already mentioned quinoa. But there's a lot. I mean, if you can cook a grain, you can cook a grain in an Instant Pot. I know a lot of people that do Instant Pot oatmeal and they really, really like it. Again, it doesn't necessarily take less time than doing it the traditional stovetop method, but it's a lot less hands-on. So you can, you know, get it started, go do your morning routine and come back 30 minutes later and bang, your oatmeal is ready to go. Now, I found a great resource on the web from a website called InstantPotEats.com, and they have a great page that has tons and tons and tons of different grains that you can make in the Instant Pot and tips on each particular grain, how best to make them. So if grains have been something you're a little leery about making at home because of the time or the effort, definitely check out how you can do that with your Instant Pot. So that's number four, cooking grains. Okay, number three on the list, and I know a lot of home cooks don't mess with making this because it is time and, mainly just time intensive, and you've got to kind of stick around if you're going to make it, but making stock. I like the old-fashioned way of making stock on the stovetop where it takes several hours of, you know, just that barely slow simmer. I enjoy that. I enjoy how it makes the house smell. But I don't always have a whole day. And really, that's almost what it takes if you're going to make stock at home, whether it's chicken or beef stock. You know, veggie stock or seafood stock doesn't take quite as long. But if you're going to make a commitment to make like a chicken or a beef stock, I mean, you're looking at potentially a 4 or 5 hour process or more even. And you've kind of got to be around if you've got something on your stovetop, right, going on heat. And I know a lot of you listening already make stock in the Instant Pot, but I've kind of begun to do that in the last 6 months or so. And while I can't make as much stock at once, because I oftentimes will make stock and then put it in containers and freeze it. So I've got stock for the next several weeks. So I can't make as much quantity wise of stock as I usually do the old fashioned way, but I can make it a lot dang faster. I mean, from beginning to end, you can usually have stock knocked out in about an hour in an Instant Pot under pressure, which is pretty amazing. And the quality of the stock is pretty dang good. It's, I mean, if you made a batch of chicken stock in the Instant Pot in an hour or so, and you made a batch on the stovetop in 5 hours, and you put it in front of somebody, a sample of each, I'm not sure that they would know the difference. So while you can't make as much, you can make it more often and a lot with a lot less effort. Essentially, though, it's the same process. It's the same ingredients, right, as making stock on the stovetop. It just does so much faster under pressure. So if you haven't used your Instant Pot to make stock, I really, really recommend it. The way I like to store stock, by the way, and you could store it in glass jars in the fridge for a few days, or plastic, you know, screw lid jars for a few days in the fridge, but you can also freeze it with really good effect. I like to put mine in, I think Rubbermaid and Ziploc make them. They're like 4-cup cylindrical containers with the screw-on lids. I like to put stock in that and throw them in the freezer. If you cool your stock down, you can also put them into Ziploc bags and kind of freeze them in bricks in the freezer as well. So there's and in the freezer, you know, your stock will last several weeks if it lasts that long if you're not using it. So making stock in the Instant Pot, I've really come around to this. I really love it. It's so fast. It's so convenient. And if you're not making stock in the Instant Pot, you should really give it a try, especially if you've never made stock before. This will make you a believer in homemade stock. All right. Task number two, we're down to two more on my list of five things that the Instant Pot can make your life easier. This is one that I think a lot of home cooks don't fuss with because it is, again, not difficult, but it is time consuming and it takes quite a bit of planning. And that is cooking beans from dried beans. You know, the old fashioned way usually required some sort of a soaking period, oftentimes for several hours or even overnight. You had to pre-soak your beans in order that when you went to cook them, they would actually get done. So 9 times out of 10, or, you know, 99 times out of 100, actually, I will probably, at least in the past, I will have erred on the side of just getting canned beans. So if I wanted pinto beans, let's say, for example, I would just buy a can of pinto beans and drain them and use them, whether it was just, you know, as like a rice bowl topping or in cooking or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you've never made beans from dried beans, I think you're going to be in for a treat because the texture and the flavor is so much different, not least of which because you can really tweak the flavor depending on how you cook the beans, what kind of seasonings and flavors you add to the cooking liquid of your beans. You can really end up with a delicious product. I mean, I would never take like a can of pinto beans and, you know, warm them up and eat them straight. I'm not going to do that. But I definitely would take a bowl of pinto beans I've made in the Instant Pot from dried beans with some, you know, some seasonings. Delicious texture and flavor wise, a whole nother world. And you don't have to pre-soak the beans. So I can get, just again, to use the pinto bean example, most beans are similar. You can get pinto beans on the table after 30 minutes of high pressure cooking in the Instant Pot. So add a few minutes on either end for the heat up and the pressure release. But I mean, you know, what was a multi-hour, sometimes a overnight process really comes in at about an hour with the Instant Pot, and you can have fresh beans cooked from dried beans just like that. And again, you can get so creative with the kind of flavors that you put into the cooking liquid. You can make some really, really fantastic stuff. So again, I'll put a link to a great resource that lists out all sorts of different types of beans and how best to cook them in an Instant Pot or another pressure cooker. And a quick note about soaking beans. I think red kidney beans are an exception. You do want to soak red kidney beans because they do contain some, I don't know if toxins is the right word, but essentially you want to soak them to get that stuff out of the beans before you actually cook and consume them. But pretty much all other beans, to my knowledge, aren't like that. So you can do the quick cooking method in the Instant Pot. But this resource that I'll link to will have all that information as well. So if you're worried at all, don't be. It'll cover it. And if you do like to soak your beans ahead of time, you can still do that and utilize the Instant Pot with pretty good success. So if you've never tried making beans from dried beans at home before and you have an Instant Pot or some other similar multi-cooker, put it at the top of your list to give it a try because it is really, really great and delicious. Okay, I'm down to the last one of my five tasks that your Instant Pot will just make your life so much better. And this one, I've always been a little bit a skeptical might be the word I'm looking for. And this has to do with hard-boiled eggs. I've never been the type of person that would complain about how hard it was to peel a hard-boiled egg, even though most of the time, if you're hard-boiling eggs, you know, they're a pain in the rear to peel most of the time. You know, you're sitting there picking off tiny little bits of shell that are stuck to the egg and you're ripping the eggs. It's really a pain if you're trying to make like deviled eggs, you know, and you want the eggs nice and you don't want them all cratered and pockmarked from you like digging bits of shell off of them. I know, really first world problems, right? How to peel a hard-boiled egg. But I have to tell you, after making eggs in the Instant Pot, I will never make them any other way again. Unbelievable. Again, it doesn't take a necessarily less time, but it's so much easier. And I guarantee you that the time you will save in peeling your eggs will pay you back. I'm not kidding. Eggs in the Instant Pot, you crack them a couple times on the counter and like the two halves of the shell will just basically come right off the egg. It's amazing. So super easy. I just use the 5x5x5 method. That's eggs cooked at high pressure in the Instant Pot for 5 minutes. Let them release naturally for 5 minutes and then plunge them into a bowl of ice water for 5 minutes and you're good to go. You've basically got hard-boiled eggs. And you're not actually boiling the eggs because you're just putting a very little bit of water, like a cup or so of water at the bottom of the Instant Pot container. And you're using the metal trivet so the eggs sit on that and they're not actually touching the water or immersed in the water. So you're more like steaming your eggs, but you're still going to end up with a product that's essentially like a hard boiled egg. So give that a try. I guarantee you it will make you so happy if you're a hard-boiled egg eater. I make a batch up on Monday, so I have them in the fridge all week for snacks or salads or lunch or whatever. It's so easy to do. And again, the peeling is an absolute dream. So number one on my list of things, if you own an Instant Pot or another multi-pressure cooker, you absolutely need to try are hard-boiled eggs. All right, everybody. So that was my quick rundown of five tasks that your Instant Pot makes easy. This was a bit of a shorter episode, and I'm actually planning to do more episodes like this one in the future where I maybe focus on a particular technique or tool or appliance or ingredient and do a shorter, more of a condensed, direct to the point show where I give you some actionable things you can do on that particular subject. So plan on hearing more of these in the future. And I'll actually talk about this a little bit more on the next episode when I kind of do what you can expect from the show in 2020. But once again, if you want to get to the show notes, kitchencounterpodcast.com/149. All right. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I really, really appreciate it. You know, I've been doing this show for, I want to say like 5 years now. I have to go back and look at the math. I'm not even sure if that's right. It might be more like 6 years. Which is totally crazy, but I have you to thank for it because you listen and you send in feedback and you engage with me, and I really, really appreciate it, and I love that you're getting some sort of value out of the show. All right, everybody, until next time, I am Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.